Some blessings, and I want us to read from Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 11 to 22. Thank you. She clearly doesn't want to be a long time. Ephesians 2 verses 11 to 22. Last time we looked at the first half of Ephesians 2, we're going to look at the second half now. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. We've been looking particularly recently at the blessings that God gives us, those spiritual blessings that he talks about in Ephesians chapter 1. And we've been looking, through Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2 at these blessings. We've seen one of the great blessings that we've got is forgiveness, the fact that God forgives us, the fact that we have redemption and we have grace. Gary's hopefully going to catch up with me. Yeah, we in chapter 1 it talked about the fact that we're forgiven and redeemed by the blood of Christ, and it's entirely through grace. We saw that we've got hope. We've got his power living within us. And we've got an inheritance in Christ. So, as I say, at the end of chapter 1, those are the things that we looked at. I'm still waiting, Gary. Yeah? And then at the beginning of chapter 2, we saw that we were blessed in being, in having that bringing near to God and seated in heavenly realms. It says at the we were looking at in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 to 10, the fact that we were dead but now we're alive, and we've been seated now with Christ in the heavenly realms, in heavenly places, and particularly Paul talked about the difference between then and now, what we used to be and what we are now because of what Jesus has done for us. And life really is made up of those two time periods. Once upon a time, we didn't know God at all, and now we do. And that knowledge of God that we've gained is going to last not only for this life, but right into eternity. Paul's already told us that once we were dead in our transgressions and sins, but now we've been made alive with God in Christ. And really, that contrast between what we once were and what we are now, we said last time, is what we've got to keep remembering. Otherwise, we tend to forget, the blessings that God has given us. We've got to count our blessings. The old hymn says, doesn't it? Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. So often we take things for granted, don't we? But as we actually start to count the blessings, then we're amazed at the things that God has done for us. It's a good idea, you know, to do it, to name them one by one. That's why quite often, you know, we pray those one word or, you know, one sentence prayers, thanking God for the things that he's done for us. You know, because as we do that, it reminds us of everything that God's done. Paul wants us to focus on the blessings that are ours because of Christ. He wants us to focus on the before and after of the gospel. In these verses, he's talked about us once being far from God, but now being brought near to him. He talks about us being excluded from fellowship with God, but now being fellow citizens with God's people. He talks about us being on the wrong side of the wall, knowing what it is to be excluded, but how God has broken down that wall of division and given us direct access to his presence. So we've got to keep that before and after in our vision. This year, as you probably know, Gary and I have had quite a lot of work done on our house, he's going to show you, particularly the kitchen. And the before and after of the kitchen were quite dramatic because they took everything out of the kitchen and they went right back to the brickwork. And it looked horrible. It really did. It looked a bit like a prison cell, to be honest, when it had just got back to the brickwork. But then gradually, as the builder worked and put new things in, it looks wonderful. But, you know, we've got to remember what it was like in order to appreciate what it's like now. If we only look at what it is now, or you only came in and you never saw what it was like during those weeks of chaos, then you can't fully appreciate what you've got. We've got to, you know, look back and remember just how far God has brought us. Wren Collective have just written a song called Counting Every Blessing. And it focuses on that before and after. It says, I was blind, now I'm seeing in colour. I was dead, now I'm living forever. I had failed, but you were my redeemer. I've been blessed beyond all measure. I was lost, now I'm found by the Father. I've been changed from a ruin to treasure. I've been given a hope and a future. I've been blessed beyond all measure. And that's true for each one of us, Paul says, as we read these verses, that we've been blessed beyond all measure. The first blessing that he talks about in these verses is that blessing of being brought near to God. Yeah? Have you ever been on a car journey, going on holiday, and you've got young children in the car, and you hear that question, don't you? Are we nearly there yet? And, you know, I used to ask that before I'd even got off the estate where we lived. You know, we weren't even in Barnsley at that point. And we were usually at that point going down to Cornwall. And my dad would be like, no, we're not nearly there yet. You dread that question, don't you, of being a long way from something. But that's what Paul talks about in these verses in 11 to 13. Remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth, yeah, remember you were separate from Christ, you were excluded from citizenship in Israel, you were foreigners to the covenants of the promise, but now you in Christ Jesus, who were once far away, have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You know, in the early church, there were these two categories of people. There were the Jews who, you know, they knew about God's promises. God had revealed himself to them all through the ages, and they were waiting for the Messiah to come. And then there were Gentiles, basically, everybody else. You know, if you weren't a Jew, you were a Gentile. We were uncircumcised. We weren't part of God's tribe. We were separate from God. We were excluded from citizenship. We were foreigners, Paul says, to the covenant of the promise. In the Message version, it puts it like this. It was only yesterday that you outsiders to God's ways had no idea of any of this. You didn't know the first thing about the way God works. You hadn't got the faintest idea of Christ. You knew nothing of that rich history of God's covenants and promises in Israel. You hadn't a clue about what God was doing in the world at large. And that's how we were, all of us, at one point before we learnt about God. You know, we didn't know anything about him and we probably cared even less. We didn't know that he'd been working in history for centuries. We'd got no idea that he was working in our lives. We just weren't interested. But it was worse than that. It was worse than us just not being interested in God. You know, we were actually excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise. Now, you know, being excluded isn't nice. you know, we think back to the school days. If you were like me, you know, I was no good at sport. So when they picked the teams for playing the team games, they didn't pick me. I was always the last one to be picked. And it's a nasty feeling, you know. Maybe, you know, you were the child that was never invited to somebody's birthday party because nobody really wanted you. And it's a horrible feeling. You feel rejected. You feel miserable. You feel unwanted if you're excluded. There's lots of, you know, words that we use, you know. We ostracize somebody, or, you know, we isolate them, we segregate them, we boycott them, we send them to Coventry. All these words, you know, give us that sense of how horrible it is to be excluded. And because we weren't Jewish, that's the position that we were in. We were without hope and without God in the world. And that's bleak. That's a really bad place to be. And many people feel like that in our society. You know, maybe they feel they're foreigners, they're outsiders, they're immigrants, the people perhaps who feel they don't belong here, even if they were born here, because their skin's not the right colour or they don't speak with the right accent or so on. You know, think about what it feels like to be excluded, to be that outsider. You know, sometimes we can exclude people without meaning to. You know, the married can exclude the unmarried because they just, you know, they don't think about it particularly, but they don't, you know, they don't imagine what it's like to be on their own anymore, so they can exclude them. If you've got children, perhaps you exclude people who haven't got children. The rich can exclude the poor. Extroverts can exclude introverts and vice versa. Just because we're all different and we tend to go with the people that are like us rather than the people who aren't. You know, it's very easy for us to exclude people, either intentionally or unintentionally. And that makes people feel unloved and unwanted. But those attitudes are not meant to be here in the church. Paul says here there's room for everybody in the church. Nobody is an outsider. Jesus has changed that whole thing of exclusion. It says in verse 13, "You who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ." We're still travelling on that final, you know, towards our final destination. We're still travelling towards that city that God's made for us. But we've been brought near to God by the blood of Christ. Sin kept us separated, kept us at that distance. But now we're clothed in God's righteousness and holiness. Hebrews 10 in the Message version says, "We can now without hesitation walk right up to God into the holy place. Jesus has cleared the way by the blood of his sacrifice, acting as our priest before God. The curtain into God's presence is his body." We don't have to linger on the outfield anymore, like in that game of rounders, you know. I always used to be on the outfield hoping desperately that the ball would never come my way because I couldn't throw very well and I didn't want anything to do with it because I'd just let everybody down. But we don't have to be like that anymore. We don't have to be uncertain if we're accepted or wanted. God wants us to draw closer to him, to come near. You know, our relationship with God can be as intimate as a toddler clambering onto your knee. Esther doesn't ask us whether she can sit on our knee anymore. She just comes. She kind of clambers onto you, kicking you with her feet, and just dumps herself down when she wants to sit down on you. And we've got the right to approach God like that. He gives us the right of access, it says in verse 18. And one of the saddest things, you know, in divorce is when children are involved and there's a custody battle between the parents as to who should have access to the children. You know, those children suffer if their parents can't agree the access rights. But we've all got access now by one Spirit to the Father. God gives us complete access to himself. We can come anytime, day or night, to him. There are no longer any barriers to us coming into God's presence. And we can come to God now because we belong to him. We're part of his family. We've got the right to approach him. We're family. Paul says, "You're no longer foreigners and strangers. You're fellow citizens with God's people. You're members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. You know, being excluded makes us feel unwanted and isolated. But when we belong, we're no longer like that. We're fellow citizens with God's people. We belong to God. Jesus said that he no longer called us servants, but he called us friends. You know, God has done away with that wall that separated us, not only from him, but from each other. You know, in this passage, Paul is talking about the wall separating the Jews and the Gentiles. But he's destroyed that. He's destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. It says in verse 14. The Message version says, instead of continuing with two groups of people separated by centuries of animosity and suspicion, he created a new kind of human being, a fresh start for everybody. You know, so often if you don't really know people very well, you mistrust them, you're a bit wary with them. You don't really feel free to say what you really think because you're always wondering what they're thinking about you. But God wants us to live in freedom and trust and love with each other. We've all got that innate need to belong. You know, and God doesn't want us to be in isolation. He wants us to come close enough to him and to each other so that we can all be knit together in unity. We can be built on that foundation of the apostles and prophets with Jesus as the chief cornerstone. You know, one brick doesn't make a building. We need the bricks together to make the building. And God needs each one of us to be living stones that are being built into that spiritual house, to be a holy priesthood, offering those sacrifices to God that are acceptable. We belong to God, yes, but we also belong to each other. Belonging means that we shouldn't feel isolated and excluded anymore. There's room for each one of us at God's table. You know, when we were excluded and we were far off, there were always barriers in the way to being with each other. But God's destroyed that barrier now. He, who's the Prince of Peace, has given us peace. He's made peace, it says in these verses. Whether you were a Jew, whether you were a Gentile, we're reconciled to God in the same way, through the cross. And peace is a great blessing. Jesus said just before he died that he would give us his peace. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. He told us that, you know, we'd have trouble in the world. But he said, take heart, I've overcome the world. And he offers us that peace, the peace of God that Paul says transcends all understanding. In other words, it doesn't make sense. Yeah, we can't fathom the peace that God gives us, but we can experience it. Paul tells the Colossians to let the peace of God rule in their hearts. Jesus has made peace possible. We've been justified through faith, and therefore we've got peace with God through Jesus. All the turmoil, all the problems that are caused by sin have been dealt with. But Paul says here, doesn't he, you know, that not only do we have peace with God, but we've got peace with other people. Jews and Gentiles can be at peace instead of at loggerheads. We can allow forgiveness and reconciliation to be worked out in our relationships. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers because they're children of God. They're the ones who belong. Peace is a sign of our identity. If Jesus is the Prince of Peace, then he wants peace to rule in our relationships. We're blessed in our new relationships, Paul says, because we've got those because of what Jesus has done. We're being built together. We're being joined together to become a holy temple in the Lord. And it says in verse 22 that God's working to make his church a dwelling in which he can live by his Spirit. When we get to the last book in the Bible, Revelation, we see that holy city described as coming down from heaven like a bride. And it says God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. You know, one of the great blessings that we have is God dwelling not only with us, but in us, within us. You you know, the ultimate destiny of that, fulfillment of that promise might be in the future. But, you know, Paul talks a lot about Christ being in us. He says that we're temples of the Holy Spirit. Well, what was special about the temple? The temple was just a building. It was only special because that was where God was, God's presence was. You know, in the wilderness, when they were wandering, it was the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire that signified the presence of God with them. In the temple in the Old Testament, the cloud represented God's glory. When the temple was filled with the cloud, it says that, you know, the priests couldn't perform their service because God was there in such presence and such glory. Paul says to the Romans that we no longer live, we no longer belong to the realm of the flesh. We belong to the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Romans 8 says, if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. We've got the promise of God dwelling within us. He's moved in. When we become a Christian, that's what happens. God moves in. He takes up residence with us. You know, we often struggle to believe that. As Roger said, you know, it talks about in the book, you can't see him. He's invisible. Sometimes you can't even feel him. So you think, well, how can God be living in me? But we've got the assurance of his presence at all times from what the Bible teaches us. I will never leave you nor forsake you, he says. He's with us always. We who were once separate from Christ, excluded from his presence, unable to approach a holy God because of our sin, now we're welcomed into his presence and he chooses to dwell in us. You can live in the same house as a person and not really see very much of them. When I was at university, I shared a house with two other girls and we all did different subjects. And so there could be days when I never really saw the other two girls. But that's not the kind of relationship that God wants to have with us, you know, where we just wave at him occasionally. You know, hello, God, it's nice to see you. I'll push off and do my own thing now. That's not what he wants. He wants to come in and eat with us, it says in Revelation 3. He wants us to open the door and allow him in, to have fellowship, to dwell with us. Jesus said in John 14, we will come to them and make our home with them. When you make a home with somebody, you want to be with them, don't you? Spend time with them, do things together with them. And God wants to help us in every situation. He wants to guide us, to lead us. He wants his presence to make all the difference to our lives. So the blessings in this chapter, in these few verses, are so many. And they're there for us to access if we'll only open our eyes and receive them. God is near to us. Paul says to the Philippians, the Lord is near. He's not far off. We're no longer distant from him. We belong to him and we belong to each other. We're part of a family. We're living stones in God's new construction. You belong. I belong. We all belong. Nobody's excluded. There are no outsiders to God's love. We can know God's peace. The fact that the God of peace is with us at all times, even in the turmoil, even when we have gone through really difficult things, God is still there. And God lives in us by his Spirit. We're never alone. So there are some blessings for us to count and to name one by one.